it.
Well, it had more to do, for me, it had more to do with the way you were talking compared to them, because they were so, like, clownish, and you were actually coherent and academic. And
Yeah, exactly.
So I got your email there and then started contact. The first time I contacted you, I sent you some patterns that I found on certain websites, something about 22, and that would have been around 99.
And I remember that email, and I was amazed. This young person was writing from 400 miles away, King City or something, and I didn't know how they knew about us. You know, the radio station didn't go that far, and I wasn't on the radio there really anymore. So, isn't it? Weren't you living in King City or something?
Well, no. First, I sent you the email, and then later on, I guess a couple years later, you were on Cloak and Dagger Radio.
Yeah, that was 2002.
Okay, so 2002, I started listening to Cloak and Dagger when you were on it, and that was online radio. So I didn't have to be close to Toronto to hear it.
Right. And what? Where were you living? Am I right to say King City or something like that?
No, Kingsville.
Kingsville, yeah. King. But so we're talking about the violence of these kids, the... how it was 30 years ago, the environment of violence, and somehow you brought up this internet, early internet life.
Because I was talking how to wade through the garbage of the Subgenius encyclopedia online.
But what in relation to 18 on the Bay?
Getting better.
What's getting better?
The show?
The show.
Well, at least it's getting better. So.
Well, a constant monitoring of our show. Let's get better. and you know what? That's McLuhan. They asked McLuhan. He got very mad at the coverage of the moonshots in 69-70. He says, totally incompetent what they're doing. Showing, you know, a bunch of guys bouncing around on the moon visually, which later turned out to be all faked. They went on the moon, but they weren't showing what actually was going on. They showed footage from Nevada or someplace. But the McLuhan said, that's not how you create excitement. He says, the people should be watching the meters that were monitoring the blood pressure of the astronauts, the this or that of their body processes. That would have created drama, he said. And that's what I'm thinking of. We should have people monitoring something and go, yeah, it's getting better. Blood pressure's going up. That's what I'm thinking of.
Vital signs, yeah.
Yeah, vital signs of the body of the participants as they work through the awesome task of broadcasting to the, quote, youth, unquote. Dangerous cybernauts. Attempting to contact life in the world of youth. But no, we're not getting the connection. How did we go from talking about those kids and talking about the violence in their schools to the church subject? Oh, we said that was the most violent meanness on commentary. Right, that's what we got into. Jermaine agreed that there's nothing but insults on the commentary. And then I said, yeah, the Church Sub Genius was the first to do that as an art form.
Okay.
Right? And then you told And you told us about that reminded you of your early experience. That was the only thing available. But it's about the post-information age. Nobody is trying to match and find an agreed-upon truth. They are communicating as a manipulative probe into whoever salutes the flag to your posting. So everybody is a satirist. They started being that in the 90s on TV with the Jerry Springer stuff.
Hey, Bob, what happened? The tsunami hit you?
Oh, it's a only affecting Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought it was me.
Do you hear me, Chad?
Yeah, we hear you.
Loud and clear.
We can't hear you, Bob.
What?
Nope. You're all crackly. You're in the middle of a tsunami.
Is that right, Chad?
Yeah, Bob.
I thought
you're,
you guys were...
Yeah, Bob, you're on dial-up.
Sounds horrible.
You're back.
Well, I am upstairs where it does get vulnerable, so I've been screwed up for how long? 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you entertain him while I finish making the bed here, Carol, and then I'll go downstairs.
We can hear you now, Bob.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks for listening, Carol. And Carol's monitoring me.
You bet I am. I'm not letting you out of my sight.
No, it's ear, Carol. You visually.
I'm not letting you out of my ear.
Yeah. That's right. That's a good example of her natural visual bias.
The last thing I think Bob would be doing right now is walking around making beds.
You're running a revolution. That's what I'm doing. I have chores here. I'm a mere slave.
A slave to Carolyn.
That's right. Carolyn's basking with doing the more important activities in Dobbstown. I do the shit work here.
That is a janitor.
Yeah, I'm the janitor. Sacred janitor. Stan calls himself the sacred scribe. I'm the sacred janitor. This is turning out to be quite entertaining. Would you... who's else here? Maybe I should take a look at the panel. There is one. Oh, poor Sarah. Poor Sarah's been on mute for I don't know how long. I'm sure she has something to say.
It's just so horrible. No, I was yelling, excuse me, but I'm the sacred scribe. How dare he once again bite off my life?
Okay, sorry. It wasn't intentional.
No, I mean Stang. How dare Stang? He always takes my ideas and then makes them stupidly dumber and then makes money off it.
Yeah, and what ideas did he take from you 25 years ago?
You.
Well, no, that's Angela's claim, right, Chad?
Oh,
Angela
right.
Bit me in 2005.
But Angela's doing a piss-poor job of biting off me as well, so...
Yeah. Be careful.
How is Angela?
You're walking on thin ice.
How is Angela?
Am I?
A lot better than Sarah.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine,
yeah,
and I'm
right.
Not afraid of Angela.
We're not talking about being afraid, but you're fine? You're okay?
Yeah,
I'm
fine.
We had a conversation yesterday, Sarah. What about yesterday?
Yeah, you disappeared for a while there, didn't you?
No, she didn't.
No.
Not for me. I'm
no,
the janitor
of Sarah.
No, Michael
literally cut with wire snips my phone line and my cable line. So I am
right.
Dealing with it.
Choose better associates, then.
Exactly.
Okay,
so
here's
as you can
what
hear,
happened.
I'm fine.
It was either yesterday or the day before.
He thought
Sarah's
I was having sex
home.
With Chad, so he got angry and cut all the shit off. I'm not lying. That's what he fucking said. You're having sex with Chad. I'm going, I don't even know where Chad would live. I'm not even friends with him on Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. What he thought.
Okay, yeah. So listen to this. Sarah told me yesterday or the day before, she's walking home. It's a 5-mile walk in this little dinky place, Pequa, which is where Gumbo was filmed, or Gumby, or whatever that film was.
Gumbo.
That's where it was filmed.
Harmony.
Gumbo.
Movie.
Was that filmed in Pequa, Sarah?
Or no, it was
nearby?
Filmed in. It was filmed in Kentucky, but it takes place in Xenia, Area 54.
Right, near you.
Yes, very near.
Near Pequa. She's walking home. All of a sudden, guess who's walking beside her? Kiki.
Yep.
And Kiki he's been following her.
At least 3 miles.
He said he was back
at least 3 miles.
Here.
He pulls up. He pulls up on a girl's Schwinn bike. He's like, oh, this is my girlfriend's bike. I'm like, yeah, right. You got no game. You bought a girl's bike so you can tell girls that you're riding your girlfriend's bike. That's sickening. And then he does this, like, horrible interrogation crap tactic where he's like, Oh, I'm thinking about moving. I'm thinking about moving. I might move here, because he's wanting me to go, well, I live here, or I'm going to move from here, and this is where I'm going. He just keeps telling me all these things, and it's like, it's not working.
Hey, Sarah.
What's going on? He's not on Facebook anymore, either.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's not. He's got to keep a low profile, because he's, you know, whatever. I would more like to talk about Michael than Keith.
Yeah,
Just a second, Sarah.
Kiki told me 2 or 3 months ago he was now back in New York City. He had a girlfriend, and maybe he had a job, or he was refusing to work. But he claimed he left your area months ago, so he lied.
Yeah, and he's a liar. We all know that already. So, I mean, I don't think he can help that. It's kind of a pathology or compulsion. I think he appreciates hanging out with me because I'll just go, that's bullshit, what's the truth, and make him dig and figure it out.
Make him lie. See, he's an example of a person trying to be creative with speech and mundane Gutenberg communication, and it's a toxic poison. I say creativity is obsolete today. That's why everybody can only survive by being creative, because when something's obsolete, everybody's doing it. But it doesn't have any influence on anything.
But when he's calm and he's not talking about something violent or something that he's afraid that he's going to be judged by, I mean, when he's just straight up telling stories, he is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, he's a good storyteller.
Like telling stories about history and geology and things like that, or geography too, things like that. Like he is, I can understand what he's saying.
Right. Sarah, I just want to say that it was always pleasant to talk to Kiki because he was getting in such ridiculous scrapes all the time, and you'd have interesting stories. So now I've unmuted you. But I want to add, here's what Sarah told me. One of his points he made was he tries to sober up Sarah to pay attention to him. Sarah, Bob is the Antichrist.
Yeah, but let me tell you the neurolinguistic pattern of it. He crouches down where we were both standing before. And then I like naturally want to crouch down, but I know what's going on, so I kind of back up so that we can still make eye contact. Then he like holds out both hands. Like, you need to crouch down and hold my hands. And then he talks in a lower tone and a softer voice and says, Bob really is the Antichrist, Sarah. Like, in a way, like, I need you to believe this, you know?
People, realize, this is like a Nicolas Cage movie. These two nobodies in Las Vegas, but they're in Piqua, and the big issue is Bob. Bob is the Antichrist. This is so real. This is so...
Well, now you have Daniel and Michael. Half this town thinks that Bob is a nobody real person. Like, a lot of people around here are pretty...
Sarah, and is that a good thing?
It is because I explain you. And I, you know...
It gives you a role.
I explain Carolyn.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, I guess he's cool or something.
Yeah,
or
no Antichrist, he married to Carolyn. No Antichrist.
Right, that's what I say. That's how I prove my point. That's what I'm saying. That's why people don't worry about it, I think.
That Daniel and a bunch of people are saying I am the Antichrist, or they're just thinking about me? What was your statement?
Oh, they're just thinking about you. But he told me that Matthew has paid, and he told me the addresses. They're like 3 houses right around me. He said that there are apartments that are rented in there that have a high turnover rate. He said Matthew had been paying different people to keep residency there, to keep tabs on me. And I really don't see that as a threat, except that somebody keeps planting poison ivy around my house and putting dead cats in my basement.
Right. And you're pretty sure. Now, we have Michael on the line.
I'm not pretty sure. I'm positive.
This sounds like a crazy-ass story.
Okay. Here's Michael. Michael, are you going to defend yourself from the charges you cut her cable?
Yeah, I did. I didn't have such a thing. I didn't cut the cable line.
We were in civil complaints court here. So, Michael, you can speak. I've talked to Michael recently, and I find Michael very reasonable. And I told Sarah 2 days ago, after she was panicking about this and that, that I'm taking Michael's side. He sounds more sane than you, Sarah. And, of course, Sarah got mad and hung up. Or I don't know if she got mad, but she hung up. She said, okay, have a nice day, Bob, and hung up. So I think it's really good to get, this is a youth problem, even though these people are in their 30s, but you can't be older than 4 years old under electronic conditions, so we're all youth anyways. We're all immature. So, Michael, let's hear your side of these accusations by Sarah.
Well, I don't know. I didn't cut the cable. What else? I missed a little bit. Did she say more about me? I just heard the cable
she
line.
She said that you're... She says you've got cat litter or something to do with cats in your house piled up for energy purposes or something. Is that? Is there any reality in something to do with cat litter?
Dead cat.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Okay, let me just ask.
My
neighbor behind me already apologized for doing all that. That's how I found out that it was there for sure. So it's not a crazy story. I've already received an...
That's not the story. I've just muted her. Sarah, you told me that Michael is using cats in some form, their waste product or something, or cats themselves, to energize something in the house. Now, I'm going to demute you and explain. Is that what you told me, Sarah? You're unmuted.
No, I think I told... Here's what I tried to express. People are fracking off the energy from the basement, and then also there's a crap ton of cat litter collections in my drawing room, and only in my drawing room.
And is Michael live in that house also?
Let's have him answer that.
Okay, Michael, I've muted Sarah. Do you live in that house, and do you have cat litter in one of the rooms?
I'm not currently staying there. I haven't been there for 3 weeks maybe, 3-4 weeks. I'm still in the lease.
When you did do it, Michael, how long was it going on?
Did what? Was there?
The cat litter.
I don't know what you're asking me.
Okay.
Did I collect?
I
didn't collect cat litter. Oh, we used, we just moved, she moved her art room to another room down the hall, and then we moved, there wasn't much in that room, so we moved the cat litter box to that room, so it would be where the cat litter was, because we had it in the kitchen before then.
Yeah, one box.
It was one box, but there were five cats in the house, so we ended up using more than one box. And the last time after I left the house, since I haven't stayed there... Okay, go ahead.
Right.
Are you collecting dead cats or dead cat feces to summon certain types of energetic demons or something?
No. No.
Okay, I'm going to bring Sarah back on. So, Sarah, you're complaining that there's too many cat litter boxes there.
Not at all, Bob. Not at all. That's not at all what I'm doing.
Well, I feel like we're watching the People's Court right now.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's a great show.
I refuse to play my role.
Judge Bobner, presiding.
I would not have this image in my head. The image was a result of your words the other day, implying a pile of cat shit or something in a room. And Michael says, well, we had five cats, and that makes a lot of litter, and it got more than one box. Were you saying there was something unpleasant in that room, Sarah?
Hi, Izzy.
With the cat litter?
Oh, here. Here.
You're all fucking
Sarah.
Going to hell. That's what's happening now.
That's the cats. Those are the cats.
What was that, Chad? What happened?
Somebody came on and was, like, calling a cat, and then Sarah said, you're all going to hell.
By the way, where's Katie? Did she miss the show, or is she with you, Chad?
She's on.
Hi, Bob.
She's the one that yelled out that it's getting better. Remember the voice that said it's getting better?
Oh, okay. She's that odd voice. Yeah. How you doing, Katie?
Hi, Bob.
You managed to get through an hour and 20 minutes without having to say anything. That's pretty good. Who's doing the meow?
Sarah, that's not me.
Okay, so Sarah,
dude, fuck you. That is not me. I will stand up. I'm like, fucking cat, not a dipshit.
Yeah, I'll see you in court. That was not good.
Okay, think I can't do impressions.
That's a little extreme reaction, Sarah. You know, it's not a major insult to your wonderful personality.
You
were accused of going meow, meow, meow.
I was just taking advantage of a semi-reasonable way to yell fuck you to everybody. I don't know.
No. I just want to, Sarah, I just want to establish what I thought I heard. I'm giving you the right to correct what you said to me. All right, so now I'm unmuting you. What did you think you said to me 2 days ago, if not yesterday?
I called you because Keith followed me to my house, and then it took me about 8 hours to remember what was even said during the time that we were talking.
Right.
And so what happened was that I started to feel like I was going to pass out when he left from panic, and I called you immediately, and I would be willing to bet that in my dissociated state, it didn't make sense to you, and that most of the things that I said were a desperate attempt to reach out for help, which I did not receive from anyone.
Right. So you.
And now it's a great joke for the show.
Right. It is. Great work. You're doing more than Katie and Jermaine for the show. I mean, you're actually creating interesting content with your ridiculous life. You know, that's good. But the. Many insults embedded in there, right? But the thing
well,
was
you gotta
that,
understand. Michael's been telling me for weeks that you've asked him to have me not call you anymore and things like that. Like you say, I don't know what to do with this. What am I doing here, Michael? Why don't you get on and say it? Say you didn't. Say you didn't.
Yeah,
dare
I didn't.
You.
I deny anything. But Michael, I don't know if I said that. I mean, Sarah's free to leave messages, and I'm free to respond to them or not.
Yeah, and I don't care if he does. I don't care if he doesn't. So fuck you, Michael. He fucking had me so upset. He told me that you guys weren't even doing a show tonight. He told me you didn't do a show last week.
Oh, really, Michael? Did you do that, Michael? Did you say that there was no show tonight, Michael, to Sarah?
No, I didn't say that. I hadn't talked to her about that show at all.
Right. So it seems to be that Sarah is hallucinating.
We talked about Saturday's show because she asked me if it was on, and I said, yeah, I listened to it until about 4, and she said she tried to call in but just got elevator music or something and asked me
if
I
don't know what
right
that
number.
Is.
And then I gave her – I made sure that she had the right number after that. I gave her the number.
Right. And she usually has the right number. She knows how to do it. But maybe I was playing music and there was no talk well past the normal music intro hour, and that confused her. Or she went to the wrong place. But the show happened and she missed it, and she was a bit pissed about that. It seems to me, Michael, that she, in her vulnerable, kiggy-zapped mind, does tend to hallucinate a bit about what you're intending, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would agree with that.
Do you see, Sarah, you've explained hallucinate.
I'm well aware of that. It's the crystallization over my amygdala, which makes the emotional memory center rather than the frontal lobe or the short-term memory my go-to. So I am aware of that, and Michael has had full knowledge of that for the past 10 years. He has neglected to respect that, and he has decided to constantly disrespect it.
Mm.
So that's why I'm done.
We know Michael's going to say that he didn't disrespect it, right, Michael?
I would say not purposely.
Right.
He fucking made fun of me having a seizure just yesterday, started hitting himself in the chest with his arm like he was mimicking a retarded person, and goes, and this is, our relationship has been me trying to make eye contact with you. Well, because that's when I'm having a seizure. My eyes roll or close, and I do everything I can to not fall down. Well, Michael will just stand in front of me if I do fall down, jump up and down on the floor and scream at me, because that doesn't make the seizure worse.
Right. Now I'm going to mute you and ask Michael, is that an accurate report of your response yesterday, Michael, from your point of view?
No, I was trying to explain something to her, and I was gesturing, and or I was making a movement, and it had nothing to do with seizures at all. And as soon as I started to speak and move that way, she just got mad at me and told me that I was making fun of her for having seizures. That's how I saw that happen. That's how it happened, yeah.
Well, I see that Sarah, when she's relapsing or emotionally disturbed, nothing she's perceiving is what you're doing. She's really exaggerating what's going on in the interpersonal communication. And it may be no fault of her own if she's reacting to medication or something, whatever's going on. What do you
doing
think of
my
that,
best.
Sarah? I unmuted you.
I think that's damn right, and I think I'm the only fucking person in America that's honest about those kind of effects on their body from pharmaceuticals. And I think I deserve complete respect and understanding for that, Michael.
Yeah, but why are you taking
know.
The pharmaceuticals?
My body's physically dependent on part of them. I'm almost off of them. I have one left, and then just an allergy medicine for all of the poison ivy around my house, Michael.
Let me just check that now. I'm going to mute you. So, Michael, is there poison ivy around the house from your perspective?
There was a big vine by the back door in the springtime. I ripped that out by the roots by hand and disposed of it, and I'm not sure what's around the house currently. I think there may be a little bit in the front, but I'm not sure since I haven't been there for a while.
Have you separated from Sarah?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't stayed at the house for weeks. Most of my things are still there.
Right. So you've decided not to put up with what you perceive as her vulnerability to hallucination.
Well, I feel like I can't even really be around her.
Right.
She doesn't want me to be around her. That's the impression I get.
Yeah, well, Sarah, you told me a month ago you got a new boyfriend coming up from Athens, Georgia. Is that going to happen?
I used him to trigger out some memories of an abduction that I had been through, and I needed to get some names, and I got the four names out of him, so that's all I was doing there. Playing the role.
So he's gone.
Hell fucking yeah. That guy's a fucking junky-ass, gross person. I just needed to know these four men's last names.
Right. And this guy from Athens was a junkie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or whatever. I mean, I knew he was intoxicated, so then I could just be like, here, have another beer, and then just get all the names out of him. So that's what that was. But then I had to be like, oh, it ain't so great if I'm talking to someone else and he can hear. Or he wouldn't have fallen for it. He wouldn't have felt so safe. He would not have told me his best friends before.
So you're living alone now.
Bob, I am never alone. But I'm alone. I'm the only meat sack. I'll say that.
Yeah, you're the only meat sack. I got that. Okay, so, I don't see any problem here because Michael's not around. And when he does, he's aware that you can exaggerate, and you're aware that you can exaggerate. And what is it? It's not the allergy. What is the medication? Is it toxicity from former medications that you say are continuing to add to your brain?
It's TARDIS dyskinesis. It is from taking antipsychotics as a child, becoming addicted to them, and then taking them to wean off, and then taking only maintenance, and now completely free of them. My nervous system was horribly affected. It's very, very common. It's almost an anomaly if it doesn't happen. It's just from taking an antipsychotic.
Right.
But
and so these
not being a psychotic.
Every now and then.
Not being a psychotic and people making me take them, such as my parents.
Right. Right. And then you have this after effects continuously through your life.
For the rest of that girl's life, yep.
Well, I wonder what Carolyn would say. Is there an antidote, a way? Does the RNA drops help? Is there a Remag? Is there something
the
we
magnesium.
Offer?
It's the magnesium. That is the miracle. Of it's all. None of that help. It's getting rid of that issue. I just can't
right.
get Michael. Michael would insist that he had to buy them, and then he wouldn't buy them, or he would, like, so I don't know. I'm not blaming him. I'm saying that's another reason why I'm done with this shit, but it's going to be a bit before I can get completements because I have other things that I have to do with my money.
Right. So, Michael, are you were you buying it for her and then stopped?
What was the question? My phone cut out.
Are you did you buy the Remag for her for a while and then you stopped buying it for her?
No. I we didn't always have since we moved into that house and got back together, we didn't always have drops there, but there were pretty much always everything else. Sometimes there would be maybe a 3-day lag where it'd run out.
Right.
And then
so
drops
would run out.
There
I would run out, and you would lord it over me.
No, I never took the stuff when we lived at the house because it was hard to afford it for two people, so I felt like you needed it more, so I let you take it, and I never really took any of the stuff since we've been in the house.
Yeah, that's not true, what she's claiming, that you snuffed her supply and you were using it. You sacrificed yourself for her to get it.
Correct.
Yeah. So she has to stay on the Remag, and she hasn't got the resources right now, but that's the goal. Do you want to help her, or you don't want to help? You don't want to buy her some bottles?
I could actually. I thought about sending her one yesterday, actually.
Right. So, Sarah, you would feel better if you had magnesium right today, right?
I would. I'm taking Clomag, and I'm taking Epsom salt baths every 20 minutes, just 3 20-minute baths a day. And, I mean, if I didn't have Carolyn's book, the little purple book, I wouldn't be making it through this.
Right. Well, that's
it's
good.
It's not a joke. It's not funny. It's like a diabetic without insulin. And Michael would not help me with my brain function enough to order it myself, would not allow me to use any of my money for anything other than rent, and also would not make sure that I had it. So these 3-day relapses were enough to cause almost psychotic breaks. And let me tell you, you can get used to and fake being normal under those conditions, but you can't experience it being completely gone and then have 3 days of it worse than ever. It's worse than just being that way.
Okay, well, as judge in this court, I sentence Chad, guy making a lot of money, Jermaine making money, and Katie making money. Each one of you send a bottle of Remag to Sarah. And you guys will be on probation for 3 months if you don't do that. That's my sentence.
Why do we do that?
Because I said so.
Hey, Bob is nice.
No, maybe people got working money. I mean, I don't owe Sarah anything. I've spent hours of
I know. Bob's being shockingly nice.
Hey, I gave her advice. I gave her advice about her kid, and she thanked me for it and everything. So.
And, you know, it's real funny. One time Chad jumped in and was like, Sarah, shut it. And I appreciated that from Chad more than anything that I've ever had from anybody else on the show. Bert one time had done that for me, but Chad would just be like, stop, to cut me off if I'm going on, because guess what, people? It's a neurological disorder, and I cannot control it.
Mm.
So I appreciate
hey, Sarah,
that one. Just...
Some paint? Sarah, thanks for sharing this, because I had no idea all this time listening, and then now that you explain, it makes sense, you know. Now I understand you a lot better.
Right. And do you have enough money to donate $100 to whatever what is it, $36? Can you donate a Remag bottle to her, Jermaine?
Yeah, I can do that.
Like, I can tell Virginia to send Ginny to send the stuff, and you guys will put it on your credit card or whatever, send it to Ginny. Have you got any money, Katie?
What?
If you got 36, if you got $36 to pay for a Remag bottle for Sarah?
Yes.
All right. Each one of you send a bottle to her. But I'll tell Ginny to send three bottles, and I'll say it's going to be one-third paid by Jermaine, one-third by Katie, one-third by Chad. And that's then she.
I'm not paying. I already paid her. She's no way. She's got free consulting. She's not getting a penny out of me.
Yeah. Now we found out who the mean person in this.
I agree with Chad.
Oh, I'm the meanest person on the planet.
No, I agree with Chad. He doesn't have to buy one. Michael has to buy two, and he has to provide what Chad may had to have had, but he doesn't have to. Chad doesn't have to.
Okay, so at least Jermaine and Katie can donate two bottles, and then you and Michael can figure
two,
out
I'll
how
do
to keep
one.
The yeah, no, two
yeah,
total.
And do that. Tell again, Michael. Michael, answer this. Remember you accused me of having sex with Chad? Do you remember that, sir? Can you tell Chad about
that? I never accused you of having sex with Chad. I don't even know why you would say that.
Really?
I'm never in Ohio, Sarah. I'm expecting a place to stay.
Right. No, you can. You can stay at her place.
If I'm ever in Ohio.
She'll put you to work. If you stay there, you're going to have to clean up the poison ivy and the fucking cat litter that Michael refuses to deal with.
You know what's not funny? The fact that I almost die at least once a month from the allergies that I have from cats and feces, the fucking dirty bones all over my house. What if I fucking walk outside in a dissociative state and get one stuck in my foot for 2 years?
Why don't you move from there then? Why do you live there?
It's my fucking house.
Okay.
Okay, I just muted Sarah. Michael, did you, what did she just claim? Are you unaware of her problem with cats, Michael?
Just recently. She had the cats when she lived in the other town with Keith, and that was the house me and her used to live in, too, before, and she had several cats there, and I didn't know it was an issue.
Right. So it's probably good that you don't live with her, because if you like cats, you want to have cats, the cats are with you, right?
Well, they were always hers. No, they were always hers.
Oh, they're not.
Well, why is she complaining about cats, then? Okay, Sarah, he said the cats were yours. So
one cat when Michael moved in, and it was killed on Passover. And so Passover is usually in April, so I believe that you moved into that house because you were still only had driving privileges for work and had to use my residency. So you moved there from the other residency that we shared together, and then you lived there for 8 years with me. And you acquired cats just as much as I did, and I ask you every day to at least take one out, and you won't. Why is that?
Yeah, Michael, is that true?
Is everyone waiting for me to answer?
Did you hear that? Did she make that request from your perspective? And did you
do
it? All right.
No.
But all these issues are cleared up now because you're out of the house, which is probably good.
Right.
I mean, maybe you can develop a relationship, you know, on these new living separately, still be friends. Once Sarah gets balanced with some Remag. I just want to say that I'm the coolest judge. I'm the only judge who, while hearing the dispute, is laughing. I'm the only judge who dares to laugh during the dispute. The laughing.
You're the only judge that senses the jury to do things, too.
Yeah. That's right. McLuhan said you can't put blame on anybody because electrically we're involved with everything. We're all causing everything. So the best thing is to blame the people who actually paid attention to this particular scenario. The audience is what you blame, the ones using the environment. And you're here using their content. So, yes, the jury is always at fault nowadays for showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is good. We should make it so regular thing.
Yeah, it's perk Okay, Jan's getting resentful.
The one day I come to my own radio show, I got to buy Sarah Remag.
You got fined. Well, it's part of the metaphor. McLuhan always said the users of the environment are at fault. Why did Kennedy get killed? Because people were watching TV. He always put the blame on the people.
Why don't you just buy her? Why don't you just send her all the remakes she needs then? How come we have to buy
I have to spend money sending shit to you guys. I'm already funding most of Iandom. And all the, you guys don't know how much I'm helping people. Right? So, I do not need another issue. I think the wealth, the suffering should be spread.
Well, I'm already funding my own self and going through my own contrast, so I'm helping myself here.
Kate, you're supposed to say thanks, but we gave it the office.
But Kate has never been in an office, so she doesn't know the phrase.
What?
But Jermaine is showing. Jermaine, who knows, man? You guys start doing some of this, you might get rewarded, like some people do. You might get a private session with Ion, so I wouldn't fucking kick a gift horse in the mouth. You don't know what's being determined here. Yeah. It's always good to do what Bob says, because you could get infinite slack from that. And some people have already.
Oh, well, thanks for telling me that now.
Yes, well, it doesn't work if people know. So I'm going to have to do something different now. I just blew it.
Sarah, do you see canvas? I have lots of stuff for you if you need. I didn't catch that, Kate. What?
Are you saying you're going to send her some cats?
No! I told Sarah. I have paint and art supplies for her if she needs.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Is that all you said? You're a bit low, Katie. So you said something else, or that was it? You offer art supplies.
I offered her paint, canvas, art supplies.
Right.
That she may need
so
for her
I just
to
unmuted
create.
You, Sarah. Does it say you are being unmuted? Is that what happens? You hear a voice saying you've been
I unmuted? Hear a noise that is the only noise ever made when you're muted or unmuted.
I see, good. So you know when I'm unmuting you. Well, this has been quite a show. I think it's been great. Every show has always turned out to be different. Hopefully Eben will get here soon and add another complexion. But I think we've come to a resolution here, and we can move on to other issues. Like, back to this article, Chad. Let's hear Chad talk a bit about what we learned from this, about the kids.
Yeah, Chad, let's hear you talk.
Well, the biggest thing we learned is that it looks like about, 23% of kids are ready to bash someone's face in.
Right.
That's what they do in school. Yeah, they spend 23% of their time ready to bash someone's face in.
That's about 30%. If the green is almost 50 and the blue is 30, that's 80, and the other two are 10%.
Yeah, it's kind of a skewed chart, so yeah, it's closer to a third. But.
Right.
Plus, you have to factor in that most kids think it would be cool to say they would want to bash someone's face in, so there's literally half of those kids don't really want to do that.
No, that's true. It's your communicating body. We could call that your TV body, your virtual communicating image. TV, maybe chip body, but at least TV is what's happening there. So actually, Chad, these are the four bodies. So.
You're correct.
Yeah, look at this.
Which one is happy because it's lunch?
We'll get to that. Wondering what I'm going to do after school. That's worrying about what the chemical body is going to, how it's going to be fed. Ready to bash someone's face in his TV body, waiting for the bell to ring. Happy because it's lunch. Well, I think happy is the chip body because you're eating the digital content and then you're looking for some release or you're waiting for more input, more texting because people don't know what lunch is. It's just four bodies, four stomachs. And waiting for the bell to ring is the astral body, waiting for it to be all over and you die. right?
No. Dawson signals transition. So you could be waiting for study hall. You could be waiting for lunch. You could be waiting for your next class.
Right. Okay. So you go to school. The first while you say, well, this is not going to help me, or maybe it's going to help me. Will this handle me? Then you get pissed off and you're ready to hit somebody. Then it gets close to noon hour, and you're ready for the bell to ring, and then you're happy to be at lunch. So, Naked Lunch, William Burroughs, is about the electronic software feast. So, the internet, happy because it's lunch, is our condition the last 50 years of software wealth. So we lead to the chip body. Before that, waiting for the bell would be TV, waiting for the news. Ready to bash someone's face in would be astral, and what I'm doing is chemical. So it's actually in order, chemical, astral, TV, and chip. Well, how's that, Chad? That's pretty good, eh? Pretty good.
Yeah, good pattern.
Yeah. It's the four stages of the five. We should write these people and tell them what their chart means, or whoever made the chart. Is this, who made the chart? Is this a one-person effort?
You know, that makes me mad about Michael, too. Because I cannot remember the name of all your charts, Bob, he'll tell me that I'm wrong about when I'm trying to dialogue with him and express that I feel like I understand this. But other men that I've talked to, like through dupes, don't do that. They go, oh, you mean this. That's funny you call it that. But Michael will just straight up be like, you're retarded. That's not what it's called.
Yeah, Michael, are you too critical maybe with Sarah?
No, I don't think I've never told her this. She's retarded.
I call top-down identity chart the global village chart. You never tell me what it really is. You just say there's no global village chart. Is that because you've never looked at the chart?
What'd you say, Bob?
I'm not trying to remember the chart. Is global village one phase or a whole section? But top-down is about... the bureaucratic
it's the first
stuff.
Word on the left-hand side of the page. So as an American brought-up reader, it's where my eye goes first. It's bold letters. It says Global Village or Village Global.
Yeah, that's the ground. Yeah, that's underground.
The title is centered and over more, so it's not the first thing on the left.
Right, I'm looking at it right now. Just bringing it up.
When I recall it visually in my head to dialogue from it, Michael refuses to acknowledge that he has any idea and that I'm making it up and tells me that I'm hallucinating it. When in actuality,
here's what it says, Sarah.
He won't.
Global, the ground is Global Village from ancient times to 1945.
I know.
And it's global
I know what it says. It's in my hand.
Yeah, I know. But
do
I'm
these other people read this?
Yeah, I'm confirming what you mean. Global Village is in, I want to see if it's in both charts, those two distinctions. Yes, the far left are part of the ground, and the first half, the first four levels in the chart is Global Village. That's from the time of Christ up to the end of World War II, and then it's Global Theater from 45 to today. All
correct,
right, so
and it's top-down chart, so that makes what I call it the literal of the title.
No, it's not. You don't say it that way. You just say Global Village is pre-1945. So maybe Michael disagreed with your use of the term. You know those terms are in the chart, right, Michael? You've looked at the chart.
No,
you know
when it happens, what she's talking about, we'll be talking about the chart, and then I'll ask her which one she's talking about, and then I just get confused, and I don't. It's not. I don't.
Well, there's.
Well, they're hanging all over my house, and I have one in my hand right now. And typically, we talk about them that way. So, why wouldn't you just pick one up?
Okay, Michael, you can discuss the charts with her, right? And have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, and you find sometimes she babbles, and you can't understand the point she's making, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that can be caused by not enough magnesium.
That's not going to
go away.
That might fine-tune it. I'm just saying, Michael, I'm saying it's people in my life. If they're not trying to help, then they're in my way. They should go away. Leave me the fuck alone.
Sarah, it's Carolyn. how are you helping people in your life? Why did they always have to help you?
I mean, they don't. They don't. But because I thrive on helping other people, and I do it whenever I can, and I have to, like, binge do it and then recover, I feel like it would be awesome if you would just be not disrespectful to me in my immediate environment at all times, so that then I can be honest about what's going on with me, and they can, like, okay, I'll stop there. I like to be able to do that, and it...
Right. Yes, but think of all the many, 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 many times Michael has helped you, and here you are throwing him under the bus for maybe the, you know, 10% of the time. He's on overload. He can't take it anymore. And all you do is keep bashing, bashing, bashing. And I don't know, you know, if you give him enough thanks for what he has done. But when you're in you know, a dire straits and feeling horrible, you lash out at the people you love, and you've just pushed them away.
That's very true, and I think about that a lot. I get very upset, and then the Tourette's makes me have a monotone, angry, just in the air. And I don't, no, I did not, many times I do not know that I'm doing that because I'm dissociated. It's an altered voice.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I'm not using it. When I have enough magnesium, it's easy to control that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wonder what I would say on the point that you're creating this, Sarah.
All well, I literally stuff, am I mean, because I don't have enough magnesium, and I know that's what I need, so it's correct.
I mean, most people would not agree with Ian if Ian said that you as a little kid wanted to get something, attention or something, so you allowed your parents to give you those medications. Would you agree with that? That you set it up so you could be a raging terror?
Ian said it wasn't true. Ian told me that he doesn't agree with that for me, or they don't agree with that for me. It's totally different. Subjugation, specifically, is different. That's what Ian said.
What, that you are not suffering under that medication by your parents? Is that what I am saying? You're
no,
not
that I am not. I am an exemption to the rule. That is the one exemption right there that Ian has ever on recording said, and because it was corrected and implemented for the word subjugation.
Oh, I see. Ian says that you are one of the rare people who does not take responsibility for what happened to you. That's what you're saying, right?
No. I asked how can I make peace with this? And he was basically, that's the day he started telling me about Shaftesbury and the mirror fractured.
Did you say chastity? What did you say?
The Earl of Shaftesbury.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. Just a minute, I want to put you on hold. We have Matt, who I think is calling from China. Now, I muted you earlier, Matt, because a lot of static, but it's not there now. What did you... You emailed me, right? Said you were going to call in. Yeah, it's very hard to hear you. Speak louder.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Clearly?
Okay, you have the microphone. Okay. Speak. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just doing a bit of reading into Finnick, and I found that it kind of altered my experience. So, like any technology, I found that the reading the wake kind of just got me out of... I was kind of like in a rut, so I found like it just changed the way I was thinking, like perceiving.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murray Gross, the head of the Finnegan's Wake Society of New York, says, you can hear it on a dialogue I did with him and another member, Michael, whatever his last name is, and they say that Finnegan's Wake changes your life. If you engage Finnegan's Wake, it'll change your life. So it changed you a little bit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's multivocal. So you're not getting any particular
perspective.
The phrase
in the book, Matt, the phrase in the book is verbi, vocal, visual. That's how Joyce describes the multivocal. Have you encountered that phrase in the book?
Brothers Broil.
Verbi, vocal, visual. Okay.
Yeah, verbivocalVERBAL. And McLuhan named Explorations Number 7, the one that he largely wrote in 1957, Verbi, Vocal, Visual. Actually, Something Else Press reissued it in 67, and that's what they called it. So you can get that online, you know, use bookstores and stuff. But anyways, that's the phrase. That's what you're trying to say. It's how Joyce called multivocal. Verbi, vocal, visual. It's basically eye, ear, and tactility.
What book did you mention just now?
McLuhan, in the 50s, McLuhan put out 8 issues of Explorations, a very good magazine, academic magazine. And issue number 8 was written mostly by McLuhan and funded by a millionaire who ran the local Toronto Telegraph newspaper, and Ted Carpenter wasn't part of it. And then Something Else Press reissued it in 67. Something Else Press was the Fluxus gang that Yoko Ono was part of in New York City. And they retitled it Verbi Vocal Visual Explorations.
Okay,
so what else? Anything else you want to say? Well, that's great that you had that experience.
Like, that's mixing the different, like, visual space and the auto-eye tactile space. Is that what? Yeah,
verbi, vocal, visual. Visual is visual space, obviously. Verbi could be either audile or tactile, and vocal or vocal could be audile and tactile. It's hard to tell because language is tactile. So verbal could be tactile, and vocal could be audio. I think they're interchangeable.
Okay. I guess the other thing I was going to talk a bit about was that video you posted, the one by MIA, or was it MIA, or?
You mean the Chinese kids?
Yeah.
Or Korean kids? Yeah, that's quite an interesting video.
And I think her lyrics kind of match up with what Ion is saying, in terms of...
Well, what Ion is saying, Ion doesn't say anything ultimately. Ion says everything, and basically Ion will say something in relation to who he's talking to or the situation. It's a figure-ground relationship. But there's no ultimate statement from Ion, so you can't say he's talking. So stay on, Matt. We can talk in the unrecorded part. Looks like our show's ending.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Great show, Sarah. Thanks a lot. Thank you, Michael.
Psychic Radio. Holistic Radio. Spiritual Radio, the oldest and most trusted station of its kind in the world. This is AchieveRadio.com.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind, and I'm ready for the times to get better.